officially welcome you to Momentum Mastery. Today is our Inner Peace Call this month, and our topic is addressing inner peace culprits. And of course, we know that the positive benefit we get when we address those inner peace culprits is ultimately a lot greater and deeper sense of inner peace. So I want to first just welcome everyone here to the call today, and I know we had quite a few new subscribers join us through one of the telesummits I was a part of, so if you're part of that, just welcome you to our community. Pleasure of having you here, and one of the things that you'll learn here in Momentum Mastery is there is an opportunity for it to be interactive and chime in throughout the calls, as well as get your questions answered at the end of the call. And if you're listening through the webcast, there's a place where you can enter questions as we go along, so you can actually be interactive with us as well. So I will always be circling back to see what other comments or questions that you have in the forum. So let's kind of dig into where we're going to be going here today. So just to stand into the question about what interferes with your inner peace? And more importantly, since what we know to be true is most people, when they experience a sense of deep inner peace, maybe have had a profound awakening, as Jim Carrey so eloquently described in one of his YouTube videos, is that how he found that moment and just described that just really incredible, profound sense of inner peace. We're just feeling a complete oneness with the universe and just how perfect everything is and this peace and serenity that came along with it. And then lo and behold, he found that, he couldn't get back to that. And there's a certain kind of frustration that ensued in knowing that this place of inner peace is totally available and not knowing quite how to get back to it. So what we're going to be looking at here today is, number one, you know, knowing what some of the triggers are and kind of being on the watch and seeing what the certain patterns are, because sometimes when we, you know, most anything, you know, that trips us up again and again and again and again, it's like we can just let it keep running us, or we can begin to make choices and decisions to where something that's an ongoing inner peace culprit can just be addressed once and for all, and maybe it's something we don't have to deal with. And in some cases, it really requires a huge perspective shift. And in some cases, you know, like we'll get into it, you know, like the sea of emotions that can rise and fall, where, you know, in some moments we've got joy, in other moments, you know, things like anger or frustration or overwhelm can creep into our world. And we've got this dance of emotion that more than likely we're not going to hit some level of peace that just never, you know, never ends. So there's always going to be some ebbing and flow back. So hopefully as we leave here today, we will have some very specific strategies to gracefully transform your particular inner peace culprits back to a place of inner peace in just a matter of minutes. And we're going to talk about seven key principles to accessing inner peace. So these can be, I was talking with a client today about, he had a couple weeks ago a really profound experience at a personal growth event and really came to some big realizations that dropped him into that sweet place of inner peace. And then he proceeded to head to Florida this last weekend for a golf tournament, and there was a lot of partying and not a lot of sleep and, you know, time with friends, and he came back, you know, exhausted and tired and just, you know, okay, a little bit too much alcohol even in the system. And he's like, you know, that place where we talked last, you know, it's like, how do we get back there? And so some of the things that we talked about on his coaching call today, we'll share here so that you've got these big, broad brushstrokes that regardless of what's going on, regardless of which culprit is testing you this week, you're well equipped to get back. But let's just put out a question. You know, first off, is just to really look at and ask yourself what your beliefs are about experiencing inner peace. What those beliefs are about experiencing inner peace along with success, along with, you know, being active and participating in the world. What are your beliefs around experiencing inner peace? Is it possible? Is it easy? Is it hard? Let's just check in with yourself. What are your beliefs about experiencing inner peace?
Hi, Mary. Stephanie.
Hey, Stephanie.
Prior to the retreat, I would tell you that I was really having difficulty accessing it.
Mm-hmm.
And almost would say that I didn't even think it was possible.
Mm.
But after the shift and really incorporating a lot of the activities and practices, I can get back there a lot quicker.
Mm-hmm.
And the funny thing is, there's part of me that almost wants to go back to how I was to almost test it.
Yeah.
Because I find that I haven't gotten back to where I was.
Oh, so you haven't gone, like, all the way back to, like, kind of the old ways yet.
I have not.
Oh, darn.
I really, and there's part of me that wants to just to really test it and know, okay, is this, am I really here for good?
Uh-huh.
But when things do come up, because I really catch myself, and I find myself saying, okay, well, this is story. All right, move away from this, that I just go back to kind of a natural flow of peace.
Yeah. Okay, so great. So this is really good. So we had kind of a contrasting set of beliefs. One is you weren't even quite sure it was possible, and now it's like now it sounds like the belief is something that it's like it's easy, and it's like now become the new default state.
Right.
Well, that's pretty cool.
Mm-hmm. It is.
I guess that Inner Peace Immersion Retreat was pretty good, huh?
Yes, definitely.
Man, I'm going to have to attend next year. Oh, wait. I'll be there.
Okay.
Oh, good. Who else? What are your beliefs about experiencing inner peace?
This is Gail. I'll jump in.
Yeah.
Now, I had the pleasure of being at your retreat as well, and my beliefs have shifted because of that. And the biggest one is that I used to have the belief that if I was peaceful, if I was connected to my inner peace, it would just be calm and sweet and lovely. And it can certainly be that. But my experience since the retreat is I have a much wider range of emotional experience in my life now.
Mm-hmm.
And what's exciting about it is that it doesn't impact my experience of peace as I used to believe it very long. Like, I can get back to that more quiet, peaceful place, but I can be, like, really passionate and really engaged in something, and like I said, a whole wide range of emotions, and it still has a level of experience of being peaceful, even though it doesn't look like I used to think it looked.
Right. Yeah, and I really get what you're saying there, which sort of sounds like a bizarre concept of, you know, we have a certain definition of, oh, inner peace is it's calm, it's relaxed, it's mellow. It might not even be active and, like, engaging in the material world and have, like, an energy of success or so forth behind it. But I'm hearing is what you're present to is that part of yourself that is always at peace, even if there's a wider range of emotions, frustration, fear, even maybe.
Yeah. And it's like nothing gets stuck there. I mean, I've resisted those emotions in the past, and then they would get stuck, and I just move through them now. So I guess the new belief around inner peace is that I that it's just available all the time, and it can look like lots of different things, and it, like, just doesn't knock me off my feet.
Yeah. Love it, love it, love it.
It's really been quite powerful, and it's so interesting to hear Stephanie say what she says, because I've had similar moments where it's like, well, there's got to be something wrong here that I'm, you know, having a fight with my man, and I feel peaceful in the midst of it, you know, like it's all going to be okay. That's just what's being expressed at the moment, you know, and then it just moves through, and then love is present again, and it's like, wow, there was peace in that. There was something that needed to move, and so I've also wanted to kind of step back and test it and see if it's really real or something.
Mm-hmm.
That's the experience I'm having, and I'm claiming it as a new belief.
Yeah.
It's all welcome, and it's all allows peace.
Oh, love that as a belief. It's all welcome. And when we do welcome it all, there's nothing that can't be experienced peacefully in our existence. Love that. That reminds me of a time I was during one of my tumultuous times, and I was doing a lot of inquiry, the work of Byron Katie, on various thoughts as a tool to get myself back to a place of inner peace. And I remember one of the times in particular that anger, like, was really arising, and I think I wrote down the thought, I'm angry. And, you know, I just decided to take it through inquiry. I'm like, I'm angry. Is it true? And actually, I was really surprised that the answer that it rose was no. It's like I could find where the little me was very caught up in anger, but what answered the question, is it true, was the part of me that's open and spacious and peaceful and was just welcoming of the anger too, and that part was not angry at all. And it's like, oh, well, that's an interesting discovery. But that's exactly what can happen, as it sounds like several of you are already experiencing. Who else would like to chime in about what your beliefs are about experiencing inner peace?
Hi, this is Michael.
Yeah, Michael.
Inner peace to me is achievable. I've achieved it on occasion.
Mm-hmm.
But it, for something that sounds so natural, it doesn't come very naturally.
Mm. Yeah.
You have to work at it. I think that it does come naturally. However, throughout our lives, we've been programmed through our environment to kind of clutter ourselves up.
Yep, that's way more common, isn't it? Clutter ourselves up, and like certain things happen, and you're supposed to respond certain ways. Something doesn't.
So achieve.
Yeah.
Yeah. So achieving inner peace, to me, it is kind of a deprogramming.
Mm.
It's not a learning, it's an unlearning.
I think you're absolutely right on the money with that, that it is an unlearning of various conditioning of ways that we're supposed to be in this world. Yep, very well said. Very well said. Well, and we might even look also at the question or inquiry of, what are our beliefs about experiencing inner peace and success? Momentum mastery is definitely a program where we hold a space for success and inner peace. What's our belief about those two existing side by side? Other people have shared a variety of things. If I'm really successful, my inner peace will eventually shake. How's that for an interesting belief? Or if I'm successful, I'm separate from others. Maybe not the greatest belief if you want to have both. Another belief, my intention breeds inner peace. Here's another belief from somebody. It's challenging to have both, but possible. And here's one of my favorites. The more inner peace I have, the more successful I am. And we might be able to see how that could be true, that if we're really living with a calm inner core, you know, what's the impact of that on our relationships? What's the impact on that in allowing creativity to flow through us and those ideas to get expressed into the world? If we're not caught up in resistance or pushing against action, feelings, if it really can all be present, like, how might that really contribute to our success? And I've certainly experienced my success go up with the more inner peace that I've welcomed into my life as well. Oh, here's another one. I'm not deserving of inner peace unless everything is in place. Ooh, that'd be a nice one to have, or maybe not so much. Okay, not so much. So any other comments from those of you that are on the live listening line? So just make a little note and jot down for yourself what you really believe. And then let's do a little brainstorming around what does interfere with your inner peace quotient. And for those of you that have most recently been at the Inner Peace Immersion Retreat and aren't really having that experience, you might need to recall in your memory banks, you know, back when you used to get ruffled, what interfered with your inner peace? Who'd be willing to chime in?
Overwhelm is one for me.
Overwhelm, okay.
Mm-hmm.
Good one. I bet you're speaking for a lot of other people. Who else would add something? What interferes with your inner peace? And if you're listening to this as a recording or on the webcast, you know, even just begin to jot a few notes down. What interferes with your inner peace?
I'd say mine was a big category called anytime I feel out of control.
Ooh, out of control. There's a nice...
Overwhelm falls in that, or when people are being different than I want them to be, or things like that.
Yeah. People being different than you want them to be. Beautiful. Michael, how about you? What takes you out of your peace?
Others.
All right. And what is it that others do that takes you out of your inner peace? Is it something they say? Is it something they do? Is it something they don't do? You know, they not acknowledge you or appreciate you.
You know, the only word that keeps coming back in my mind, and I'm going to have to say it because otherwise I won't be able to get past it, is emergencies.
Emergencies. Okay.
Urgent situations.
Okay.
That come up.
Okay. And that we could say AKA drama, right? And I'm actually in the middle right now of playing referee as friends of mine and a daughter getting married, and really interesting to see just, you know, what's going on both sides from the perspective about, you know, what's adding to the drama, what's adding to the urgency, you know, the he said, she said.
No. In fact, in situations like that is when I would find my inner peace.
Mm.
Because for some reason in my head, I need to be in that inner peace place so that, for them.
Ah, okay. Okay, so when drama ensues, you actually go to a place of being the calm grounding fork, so to speak.
That's right.
Okay. So when things are urgent, so are you talking about when, like, the pressure's on? Is that what the inner peace culprit is?
I think so. I think that's definitely closer than the drama.
Okay. Okay, good. You know. Well, there's definitely different flavors for sure. I'll read through some of the other inner peace culprits that people have named before. Mental conflict. Here's a huge one, is attaching to shoulds. Somebody should be acknowledging me. Somebody should be responding more quickly to an email or a phone call. Somebody should be collaborating more. Somebody should have canceled their plans to come and be with me now because I need them now. You know, somebody should be this, should be that, shouldn't do this, shouldn't that, right? Recipe for suffering. Stress. So stress is sort of a big catch-all. And we might even name stress as either artificially wanting to speed something up or artificially wanting to slow it down, right? That's part of what creates stress. If we're not in sync with the reality of time unfolding, it's like, oh, I want this line to go faster. I'm at the post office. If I don't get all the way, you know, through the line in time, at some level we're believing that something bad will happen, right? So artificially wanting to speed something up. And we can totally create a non-peaceful experience just sitting at a traffic light if we're resisting it and wanting to artificially speed up that turning green. Or if we want to artificially slow something down. So this is where, you know, we might say procrastination, putting something off. Like there's something painful in stopping the natural flow of creativity. We've got an important project to get done. And even if we're busy doing other things, if part of us is really feeling called to work on a particular project and we're giving our attention elsewhere, that can be painful. All right? You know, artificially, you know, wanting to slow down that creative flow, inspired action occurring. Resentment can be an inner peace culprit. Saying yes when you mean no. Maybe believing you have to be perfect. Big category, physically being sick or tired or hungry, thirsty, anything physically. Being misunderstood. Some kind of fear or worry, a fear of, oh, I can't do it all. Attachments can be a big one, attaching to things needing to be a certain way, right? Busyness and distraction. Clutter, that could be a big inner peace culprit. Thinking we need to know something already. So if this is a big one, you know, clients, even myself, if, you know, when we're in, maybe we've completed a certain set of projects and we're getting ready to, you know, 2011 is right around the corner, and really, okay, you know, what am I going to do for the year? Or what do I want to put on my website? Or, you know, what's the, you know, how do I want to present myself at a business meeting? Or what's the next event I want to lead, or the next keynote speech I want to give? If we resist not knowing in any given moment, that can be a huge inner peace culprit. And having come off the inner peace immersion retreat myself, you know, I kind of knew that after the retreat was going to be the space to begin to get clear about what's up next for 2011. And as I was describing to someone the other day, it's like, you know, I'm sort of peacefully hanging in the uncertainty. You know, just, you know, kind of just trusting and knowing that it will emerge in its own time. And I've gotten little glimmers of pieces that now are clear about what kind of things I want to include for next year. And the pieces that aren't clear, it's like really just being content with not knowing what's behind the curtain. All right, so that can be a big one. Embarrassment. There's another one. Judgment of others, wanting to get more done than you have time for, feeling obligated, mind chatter. Any other inner peace culprits that I might have missed? Certainly this is by no stretch. There's probably an infinite number of potential inner peace culprits. It's mostly anything we resist.
This is Michael.
Yeah, Michael.
Well, I can't say that you missed it. You did touch it on it briefly, but while you were reading the list, one that really reminded me was conflict of interest.
Mm.
When I'm trying to get some work done, and one of my kids needs my attention, and my wife comes in and she has a question, and I'm in the middle of something, that, you know, my inner peace just goes.
Yep. Yep. Okay, boy, and that's a great one to name. Yeah, conflict of interest, being torn. You know, and it's another one I'm seeing here on the list is about breaking a value, and that can happen. That's what's happening when we have conflict of interest. Maybe there's two things we value. You value being a great parent and father, and you know, present for your children when they need you. You also value the integrity of your own work and that creative flow and process, right? So we can have a values conflict. You know, it's like somewhere we have to break that value.
That's very interesting. I never thought of it that way.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, good one.
Not a conflict of interest at all. It's a conflict of values.
Conflict of values, yep. Both are important.
Well, thank you.
Yeah, you're welcome. You're welcome. When in, kind of along that line is not living in integrity with yourself. Now, that can be another, you know, resisting your own inner values and how you choose to live the world. It's kind of like breaking a value. Or focusing on the worst case scenario. That's another favorite pastime of long-time sufferers is focusing on worst case scenario. So for today, I'd love to have you, you know, do that brainstorm of what takes you out of your peace, what interferes with your inner peace, and see if you can't identify three things that take you out of your peace that you're really ready to handle. You're really, really ready to address, whatever those are. I'll tell you one of mine lately, only partly because I'm present to it right now, is where we live, the neighbor above us, I've gotten present to the bass in his stereo that gets played at various times in the evening. And I really value my silence and so forth. And he used to not bother me so much in the beginning because really our place is so much more quiet compared to before. But, you know, starting to notice, you know, the resistance of the sound, which feels intrusive into my space, right? So that would probably be something I would put down on my list is, okay, there's like a case-specific situation that is interfering, even if mildly. I mean, is it a huge one? Am I like, you know, well, sometimes I express myself as a way to kind of move through that resistance. But, you know, we'll soon see that there's some other ways that we could address that. So let's just roll this out to our listening audience, and let me just check and see if anyone's adding anything on our webcast. There are a couple here. Another inner peace culprit, releasing my power to others. Yep. Here's another one, when disconnecting from owning my own feelings. Yep. Disconnecting from owning your own feelings. So there's sort of a resistance of that feeling. Huge inner peace culprit. Absolutely. So anyone else be open to sharing what might be an inner peace culprit that you're ready to address or solve? And we've got a couple of people that are already resting in a lot of inner peace, so there might not be anything. So you might even look if currently you feel like you're dancing with inner peace pretty well. You might look at something in the past that has pushed a button in the past and even bring that into your space for tonight.
Mary, this is Gail.
Yeah, Gail.
Yeah, I really resonated with that conflict of values one.
Mm-hmm.
And I think the way that I would have languaged that in the past was feeling like I am or might be a disappointment to others. That's a place where in the past I've lost my inner peace.
Mm.
But I think it's a conflict of values. Like I value wanting to be of service and not be a disappointment to others, you know, that whole world. But sometimes, because as that other gentleman mentioned, there are two things going on and I might have to do this or something, it can occur like I'm that somebody is disappointed in my choice or something.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
That place where I feel kind of trapped, like there's no way to escape that.
Yep. Well, and it is a bit of a trap because is it even possible to go a year without disappointing another person?
Not if you're with anybody at all.
Right, right. Not with anyone that's alive, right?
Right.
It's like it may actually happen. You know, even if we were like so committed to like pleasing other people and trying to do everything and just, you know, but then of course we run into other problems because then we're, you know, all of a sudden, you know, resisting parts of ourselves and so we may run into a different type of pain arising.
Absolutely.
And I know, well, I remember a period of time when I used to run relationships that way where it was all about pleasing the guy and I don't know, 3 years into the relationship I would like start to have a little resentment. Well, it wasn't their problem. I was the one modify my behavior out of a desire to be liked and loved, and then, of course, that doesn't work very well, comes bubbling to the surface.
You disappointed yourself.
Right, exactly. Exactly.
I was just about to ask you your question about, can you go a year without disappointing anybody? Does that include disappointing yourself?
Mm.
Because you can, you know, avoid contact with all other people for a year, but will you still end up disappointing yourself?
Right. Yeah, can you do that? Actually, this is good. So let's actually get, you know, into how, you know, how can we really address some of these. So let's just do a little bit of barometer factor for just, you know, like, not like we need any big scientific equation to know when we're out of our piece, but just want to give you a couple measurement points to give some new language. So one is just resistance to anything. So if we notice we're pushing against anything, that can be a little trigger that you're out of your inner peace. Certainly, I'm going to say number two is any kind of emotional reaction. Of course, we can sense this if the tone of our voice changes, if all of a sudden we start feeling contracted and want to shut away and pull away from a situation. We want to avoid something, you know, all kinds of elements of reaction. And then three is another barometer of knowing when we're out of our inner peace is just to look at our behaviors and feelings and how that's really reflecting what's going on the inside. So very often, you know, how we might communicate with a spouse or, you know, it might seem like, oh, everything's fine until, you know, we notice, you know, a little isolating, you know, or some kind of feeling or emotion that we're not quite wanting to be with. So let's give ourselves some guidelines. And here's the cool thing is really there's essentially four big categories. I think actually we listed here that there's seven key principles to accessing inner peace. And we'll go through those seven, but really they all really fall within four big categories. And regardless of what's going on, we can always come back to these four that are super, super easy to remember and usually find really any one of them has the capacity to bring us back into a place of alignment, back to a place of inner peace. So let's look at, let's start with this one. So one is about being present. Being present, and now guarantee try this as another tool if you're feeling a little momentary overwhelm, you're feeling maybe annoyed with somebody, even let's say my neighbor's music upstairs. If I stop and actually just get present without resistance, get present into all of my environment as opposed to present to even just, you know, music. I could be present to music in a way that is just welcoming and inviting. Just take a moment, take something that might be in front of you and just focus in on it. Maybe whatever's on your desk. I've got a candle here. There's a calendar. If I just let's say I just stop and focus in on this calendar. Just, you know, just being with the calendar, noticing the shape, the colors, the words. Just the act of being present is a great neutralizer into coming back here in the moment. And I suspect part of what's gone on for anyone that was at the Inner Peace Immersion Retreat really dove into and, you know, anchored in that being present in a really big way, which makes it more of the default instead of, you know, just something you do on occasion with some concentrated attention. So being present is one of the keys to accessing inner peace. Another big one is authentic expression. So this one is really about, you know, when we're in action around pursuing our dreams, when we're speaking our truth, when we're feeling our feelings and welcoming those, when we're honoring our sense of integrity or our needs, when we can be in alignment with ourselves, that authentic expression, you know, that's a point of inner peace. You know, sometimes occasional annoyance, even just sharing and speaking it to John is enough for like it to just completely then be gone and okay, that's it. I know, and I know, Gail, you shared a really awesome story at the retreat about authentic expression. I don't know if you'd be willing to share that here on the call.
Oh, I love sharing when I break down and cry.
Well, it's a great illustration of getting yourself right on back to inner peace. It's just so perfect. And, well, and you happen to be here.
It was so funny. I was, you know, I worked with you for years, and I always consider that I have a certain proficiency with getting back to my inner peace. And here I was driving to an inner peace retreat, and it was getting dark, and it turned out my GPS did not really know where I was going, and I was in the middle of the desert, and you know, I had a phone number, and I called, and there was no answer. It's like, we're gone for the day. I'm like, what? I'm, you know. And I literally, you know, pulled over the side of the road, and I'm just like in tears. I just had this experience of I'm never going to find it. I'm going to sleep in my car. I mean, I was making all sorts of stuff up. And took a few deep breaths, I said, I'll just drive this way for a while. It's got to be down there. And I did eventually find it. And but when I actually got into my room, which I had to literally crawl through the shrubs to find, I mean, it was an incredible about 20 minutes.
And you ended up with scratches and everything, the whole nine yards.
Scratched all the way up my legs. And I was kind of upset that it wasn't organized so that, you know, people would know I was coming. And, you know, you had to get there and call somebody. And what if I hadn't had a cell phone? Anyway, all this stuff was going through my head, and I was just kind of shaking, and there didn't feel like peace was anywhere around. And I think I sat down and I pulled out my phone, and I knew that you were on your way the next day, but I just texted you and I just said, you know what, I'm not feeling peaceful and I'm at an inner peace retreat, so I'm just going to express this so that I can let it go. And I shared what had happened and that it, you know, that it had taken me to this place, and it wasn't a long thing. It didn't take nearly as long as just sharing it here. And then I pressed, and I could just feel it leaving my body. It was like, oh, okay. Now, you know, I expressed it, and I'm in my room, and it's warm, and it's dark, and I can get a good night's sleep before this starts. And that's one of my ongoing ways of doing that, is to find somebody that I can just speak to. I know it's story when I'm saying it, but just to speak it so that I can release it and not be attached to it.
Yep, yep, perfect, perfect. Love that story, and thank you for being willing to share that here in another public venue.
Just be vulnerable with my crying.
Yeah. Well, and it's one of the, you know, one of the big paths back to peace, and it's one of the reasons why coaching is so powerful as a medium, is because people have that opportunity to come to a coaching call in full self-expression, where it's very safe. You can say anything to your coach, you know, the good, the bad, the ugly, the messy, right? And in that, you know, it's like part of the magic occurs just in the authentic expression. So I'm a big fan of great speak it out and let it transform. And I think there was one of the gals in Ultimate Impact who sent an email out to her mastermind team today, and in the same context, and so not to share that confidentiality, but, you know, same principle, is just to kind of really speak to it. And it's like sort of by the end of the email, it's like, oh, yeah, okay, I'm already feeling better. Great, you know. So really know that that's one avenue, a great little path back to peace. And that kind of bridges in with the third key, and this is one of the big four. So we're going to ultimately collapse all these into four. And that, And this number three is, think of it as the emotional pathway. And the key to emotional peace is about embracing reality. So it's about recognizing reality for what it is and embracing it, whether that's traffic, whether you're in the middle of a physical move, you know, embracing the reality of an upset significant other in the moment. I often share the story of when we first moved in together, we actually ended up moving on a super duper hot day in Los Gatos, California. This was when we lived in Northern California. And there were all these steps to get down to where John was living at the time. Hot, hot day. Of course, he's carrying all the heavy stuff because he's a strong guy. And, you know, just, you know, the end of the day, you know, the last hauling whatever into the place, all of a sudden I meet a new personality of John that I'd never met, and I referred to him as Mr. Grumpy. And Mr. Grumpy likes to come out when he is not fed and when he's very tired and hot. And there was that initial story of, oh my gosh, this is, we're just moving into, you know, our brand new living situation together, and we had just gotten engaged, and this isn't living into the fantasy of how I wanted things to be. But as soon as I could just simply recognize reality for what it was and embrace it, it's like, oh, it's like he's Mr. Grumpy. He needs some food. Maybe we should just get him some food. So just responding to the situation and embracing it really allowed for, you know, a quicker return back to inner peace. I actually didn't have to leave my inner peace, and because I was willing not to pick a fight for how he was being on our very first night moved in together, which I very easily could have done in, you know, however many years ago, you know, we ended up having a really enjoyable evening. Same thing goes, you know, we talk about embracing reality. We could say, you know, it goes kind of hand in hand with feeling our feelings and authentic expression. I mean, embracing reality and authentic expression are really, really close cousins. But the whole key here is about embracing what is, embracing Mr. Grumpy, embracing hot days, embracing even a sense of tiredness, let's say, embracing even the overwhelm, embracing, wow, there's so much I want to take on, that there's so much I care about, right? Even embracing the out-of-control feeling. It's like, wow, you know, there's some people that pay lots of money to go into a place where they get to feel out of control. They call them amusement parks, right, where you're jostled about and, you know, on these rides and upside down. It's, people pay good money to have this experience of being out of control, right, in kind of a controlled way. But to really kind of embrace that, often in those moments of out of control is when creativity flows through. And this is a particularly big one, you know, with other people not living into the fantasy of who we want them to be. You know, very easy to do in family situations. I know I did this a tremendous amount as it relates to my mother and wanting her to show up and respond to me and have conversations with me in the way that I wanted and I imagined. And when she wasn't living into that fantasy, you know, very easy to have an emotional temper tantrum, otherwise known as stress, right? So embracing reality, big, big catch-all. And we can always just look at, you know, how can I embrace this? Just, you know, can I find a sense of, is there a way that I can just love this situation as it is, as messy as it is, really looking for the opportunity? Now, even being in a, you know, quote-unquote conflict of interest, it's like embracing the fact that I really recognize that both of these things are really important to me. And then just allowing yourself to, you know, to choose, to pick one right now that you're going to just fully embrace. Maybe that is the son or the daughter. Maybe it's, you know, embracing the reality of we're going to come back in another moment. What goes to the next piece, which is also kind of an emotional category, and that's loving yourself fully. The good, the bad, the ugly. This is a great practice when those sticky emotions can pop up. Judgment, a sense of overwhelm, frustration, and really, you know, what is it to really love ourselves in that emotional experience. And so when we're loving ourselves, we may even be in tears. Can we love ourselves in the tears? Can we love ourselves in the frustration? Can we love ourselves in the not knowing? Kind of another code for embracing reality, but a little bit more specifically focused right on you. So that's the fourth key, really loving yourself, the good, the bad, the ugly. Let's go to the fifth key, which is really a mental component. Where there's an inner peace culprit, there is most 100% surety that there is a thought lurking nearby. And when we can get curious about what that thought is, what are we believing in this moment? What are we believing will happen if I disappoint others? What are we believing will happen if I'm out of control? What do I believe will happen by being in overwhelm? And really looking at what those thoughts are. So first, identifying the thoughts. And then secondly, and this is really the main path back to peace here, is really inquiry. Taking whatever thought is arising and questioning it. You know, for example, seems like a silly experience, but, you know, the loud bass music up above. So one thought could be is that I'm going to just have to tolerate this, that I'm a victim, that I don't have a choice here, that I'm powerless, that I'm going to be subject to this forever. Or I might have some judgments about, well, if I make a request, he won't change his behavior. Or maybe he won't like me. Maybe he'll play his music more. All right, so I can make up all kinds of stories. I could have all kinds of thoughts associated with that particular situation and take something, you know, where there's a little bit of background noise and turn that into a whole lot more inner turmoil. Or I could question the thoughts and just, is that really true that I don't have a choice here? There's, you know, probably all kinds of choices available here in this moment. I could go make a request. I could slide a note under his door. I could send my husband up there. I could call the office and have them call, right? There's so many additional choices. Another one is, you know, this is a good one to question thoughts anytime there's a should involved. Somebody should be collaborating with me more. It's like, well, is it true? They really should be collaborating more with you. How do we know something should be happening? As Byron Katie says, it is. It's happening. That's right. If it's not happening, well, maybe it shouldn't be happening. Right? That's what reality is saying right now. I know my friends, I have a daughter that's getting married, you know, really want to be included in the wedding plans. You know, really want to be involved, you know, want to see their daughter totally happy and, you know, this great event where a lot of their friends are coming and, you know, they want to feel important. And the fact that they're not getting as much input in the way that they like, it's like there's a big should. There's all kinds of shoulds going on in their particular situation. And as I was talking to my sister-in-law the other night, who had a big should around every year, they do a Christmas party for their circle of friends, and we get to be invited to. And it's, you know, kind of a big deal finding, you know, the day that everybody can get together. And my sister-in-law, Tracy, has been doing some part-time work, actually as a movie extra, kind of fun. She's been in a movie with Brad Pitt and on Desperate Housewives and the event, you know, all kinds of fun things. But she's a lot busier and, you know, was really feeling the resistance about holding this party this year. And then, you know, we talked on the phone. She's like, gosh, you know, I just really don't feel like I'm up for it. Do you think we can meet at a restaurant? Do you think da-da-da? And I'm like, you know, I suggest you drop the should. She's like, drop the should. Oh, my God, that's such a great idea. I love that. Okay, I'm going to do that. I'm going to drop the should. So perfect. It can be just, I should have a Christmas party. Well, just because you did it last year doesn't mean you should this year. And this is a very good one as we get ready to go through the holiday season, because all kinds of shoulds love to creep into the scenario, right? So that's number five, and also the second big component here. So we're going to look at things emotionally, mentally, physically, and spiritually. So these are going to be our four big categories. So we've got some emotional ones. We know emotionally it's all about embracing it, feeling the feelings, loving yourself, loving reality, embracing. We know the mental side is really about inquiry, questioning our thoughts, finding the thoughts, and then questioning them. That leads us then to the physical side, the sixth key here, and that is around your physical well-being. So this is really around physical care. It's around your choices. It's around willingness to act. Kind of first and foremost, it's about the willingness to act. So we could take any given situation. We've got overwhelm going on. We might really look at, you know, physically, what do I need to do here? Physically, I might need to focus on just one single thing and task. Physically, I might need, as the case with my client this morning, I might need to get some rest, give myself some rest, a light run, doing some Egoscue stretching. Something physical, it could be as simple as getting a drink of water or having, you know, getting a meal. So really looking at the physical side and really looking at the willingness, your willingness to return to do something physical to move back to inner peace. My case, a willingness to go up and knock on the door of my neighbor and say, hey, can we talk about how my apartment's starting to sound like a disco? Right? And then finally, this is kind of the last big one, and that is really around awareness. Awareness, and that's the spiritual component. And when we drop into a place of awareness, that place of witnessing, that part of us that is witnessing emotions arise, it's perfectly at peace and welcoming every single one of them, that is witnessing actions unfolding, that is witnessing you resisting or embracing, that is alive and available and accessible, that is whole and complete. Like, this is available anytime. And this is one of the reasons why both Gail and Stephanie and those that were at the Inner Peace Immersion Retreat are really having an easy time here in the weeks following the retreat, accessing inner peace, because you got the granddaddy of them all. When you really know where this place of inner peace is, when you can keep just refocusing your attention back to that place of awareness, the witnesser, it's just life unfolding. It's the ultimate perspective. And I invite you, taking like an out-of-control moment, from an out-of-control moment coming back to the place of awareness, the concept of control actually often melts away. So those are the big categories. We just check in with our listening audience if there's any comments, questions, thoughts. Yeah, Michael.
Hi. The last one, number 7.
Mm-hmm.
Is there any way you can condense that down into a single sentence?
A single sentence. So simply dropping into awareness.
Dropping into awareness. Thank
yeah.
you.
So dropping into awareness. Yeah. A really easy way to identify that is to just check in, you know, as you're listening here. It's like, are you noticing, do you hear the sound of my voice? And does it require any effort to hear the sound of my voice? And just notice, does it require any conscious thought to hear the sound of my voice? And do you notice any time delay between the sound arising and the hearing of my voice? So might it be true to say that hearing itself is timeless, effortless, and thoughtless? And would it be okay to relax as that, which is hearing sound now? Would it be okay to relax even more deeply into that which you hear sound? If your eyes are closed, open your eye and look and see what is before you. And notice, does it require any conscious thought to see what is before you? Does it require any effort to see what is before you? Do you notice any time delay between the looking and the seeing of what is before you? So might it be true to say that seeing itself is timeless, effortless, and thoughtless? And would it be okay to relax as that which is seeing now? So I invite you to relax into that which sees. And as you're resting here, I just simply drop into the question, who or what is experiencing this moment? Who is hearing the sounds? Who is seeing? Who or what is here? You may answer for yourself, you know, what qualities are present. As you rest in this place of awareness, and as you're resting here in this place of awareness, just notice, are there any edges to this place of awareness? Is there any beginning? Is there any end? Notice, is there any past? Is there anything real called past? Is there anything real called future? And as you're resting here, is that which you are? Is there anything here that should not be here? And is there anything not here that should be here? Simply relax into that which you are. And then just take a deep breath in and then exhale. And so just to do a little quick check-in as we guided you through that experience. Like, what was discovered? What was experienced?
Is Michael?
Yeah, Michael.
Hi. One thing I noticed is that the closer I got to inner peace, the more aware I started becoming. That was very unexpected. That comes to mind.
Yeah. Beautiful.
I think inner peace would be quiet and, you know, but I just noticed that, you know, I was relaxing, and as I relaxed and cleared my mind, I became aware of the tension in my shoulders.
Yeah. And here's what's beautiful is, like, this place of awareness, like, so often the way that we're living life every day is we're out, you know, our attention is in the experience. Like, we're either in the, you know, we're in our bodies that are tight, we're in the movie of life, we're in our emotions. And there's less attention, if any, for, you know, some people, no attention placed on that part of us that is aware of all of this unfolding. And so when we talk about, you know, for this last key is really the spiritual component, this place of awareness, is what we're really referring to, like resting in this place of awareness, which is a practice, the more, you know, the more time we spend here, you can get really good to where ongoing inner peace is more of the default as opposed to something that just occasionally comes across the radar screen.
So if as I approach inner peace, I'm becoming more aware, is it also true that the further away I am from inner peace, the less aware I am, although I feel like I'm more aware?
Well, you know, so I invite you to really discover for yourself what's true. Less aware often goes with less inner peace. But there's a lot of people who have no idea about kind of the idea or concept of awareness and, you know, this whole conversation. And do they have moments of peace? Sure. You know, if they're just totally present watching a sunset or, you know, maybe in the moment of giving a speech on stage or really, you know, speaking openly with a coach or a good friend, you know, can they experience inner peace then? Sure. You don't even have to know about these ideas in order to access it. So I really invite you to look and see what's true for yourself. You know, you might have an experience where they say, you know, blissfully ignorant. It's not such a bad thing. I'm kind of a big fan of the conscious stuff. Does that answer your question? Yeah?
Thank you.
Okay. And any
I'm not sure if it actually answers my question, but it leaves me with questions to be answered.
Okay, good. Good. To go and explore for yourself.
Yeah.
So I don't know that there's, you know, as Gail was sort of pointing to in the beginning of the call that her definition of peace, you know, used to be much more, it's like this peaceful, calm, lovely. And now her definition of inner peace includes a wider range of emotional experience. It includes the whole rainbow. So it can be quite a spectrum. You know, and it depends, you know, where's our point of attention? Are we resisting emotions? Are we attached to thought? Are we unwilling to take any action? Are we able to just simply drop into a place of awareness? I guarantee when we're really squarely in that place of awareness, that place of inner peace, it's really tough to go and run an old pattern of turmoil. I'll share one last case in point, and then we'll do a couple shares, and then we'll sign off for tonight. But I was reading the feedback forms from the Inner Peace Immersion Retreat, which, you know, very much people, you know, dropped into consciousness and, you know, the deep breakthroughs that they had and so forth. And to be honest, it was sort of a sticky day for me. Like, I won't say that I was in, like, massive inner turmoil, but there was a little bit of, I was a little more irritable than I would normally be. But I read through all of these feedback forms, and then afterwards I kind of was feeling like I wanted to be, I don't know, annoying to John in a way. And so I'm witnessing myself from a place of awareness, witnessing myself sort of being a little bit of a pill to John, and almost everything out of my mouth, like, I just started laughing because I was so connected to this place of awareness. You know, partly as, you know, being re-engaged with what occurred at the Inner Peace Immersion Retreat, that I think I did three or four rounds of, like, trying different things. I don't know, something petty, like, criticizing John for something or whatever, and every single one ended up in laughter. Like, I couldn't even go there. So this is the power of awareness. It's really the power of all of these simple tools that we can do anytime with just a little bit of willingness. So let's just do a little quick checkout for our live listeners of what is something of value you're taking from today's call. Let's see, Anne and Claude commenting in our forum and said, seemed to be easier to see a feeling from a place of relaxed peace. Absolutely. Absolutely. Beautiful. So who would like to share what you're taking of value from today's call?
Hi, Mary. This is Stephanie.
Yeah, Stephanie.
For me, the piece about loving yourself and acknowledging yourself throughout it all, the good, the bad, the ugly,
mm-hmm.
and embracing the whole spectrum of emotions that I feel
mm-hmm.
contributes to my inner peace without being in judgment, without feeling that I have to have a reason even for feeling what I'm feeling, but just to feel it, and then I find that it passes.
Yep, yep. It's one of the great truths. Anything fully felt transforms. Mm-hmm. Thank you for sharing.
You're welcome.
Hello.
Yeah, and there's something I'm going to continue to watch and inquire into the conflict, value conflict. My sense is that happens a lot in my life, and just having the awareness to see it when it comes up, I think is going to give me a great sense of peace and freedom and choice in those moments that I may not have experienced in the past. So.
Beautiful, beautiful.
This is Michael.
Yeah, Michael.
Yeah, tonight I liked your definition for stress as being an emotional temper tantrum. Mm.
Yeah.
You just went over that quick, but it just really caught my attention. I also liked your list of seven ways on how to bring back inner peace.
Mm-hmm.
Looking over the list, I've used each and every one of them at one time or another. However, I've never really seen it as a list of tools. It's just been, a random way of dealing with it and having an actual list that I can refer to and know that this is actually a tool set instead of actually being just a wrench or a screwdriver.
Yep.
It's a toolbox, it's no longer just one tool.
That's exactly right. Because in any given situation, even though we could, let's say, for example, love ourselves in any moment, that could work like almost any time. And you know what? And sometimes we really need to authentically express ourselves. It might be more useful to, question the truth of a thought. So each one of these, there's I certainly found in my own, path back to inner peace again and again and again that really it's the combination of tools that's really most useful as opposed to any one.
The difference between one instrument and an orchestra.
Mm-hmm. Love that. Love that.
No comparison.
So your assignment for tonight, if you choose to take on, is for those three things that take you out of your peace that you're ready to handle, I want you to identify three solutions to each of the three items listed above so that you really are clear what the pathway is back to inner peace. So even if it's not alive right in this moment, that you make that conscious decision now that when this arises, here's what I'm going to do. So with that, I just want to thank everybody for your time and attention and being part of the Inner Peace conversation here in Momentum Mastery, and to all of our listeners here at home that are listening to this on a CD. And we'll look forward to seeing you next time. Our next call is December 7th. We've got a call December 7th and December 14th. So we'll see you next time. And everyone have a great evening.
Thank you, Mary.
Thank you, Mary.
Bye now.
Bye-bye. Bye.